Welcome to the weekend, everyone. This is episode 31 of the Lazy Bums podcast after quite a break, huh?
Yeah, it has been a little while, and we've had a lot of stuff happen in the time we've been gone, so quite a bit to catch up on.
Yeah. The main thing would be you predicted it. You said the Lakers were going to win, and they sure did win. I mean, they had the easiest path to the finals and then the easiest championship.
But I was correct.
You were correct.
Well, to be fair, I did not pick the Heat to go as far as they did, and that was really surprising.
I mean, I don't think anyone picked the Heat to go as far as they did. They surprised everyone. Or should I say Jimmy Butler surprised everyone?
Yeah, well, okay, let's not discount their role players. I mean, in the finals especially, Tyler Hero was really good. Duncan Robinson played pretty well.
Duncan Robinson played better than Tyler Hero. I'll just say that. I think he... Like, Tyler Hero got all of the hype, and I think Duncan Robinson played better than him, at least in the finals.
I think that probably... I could see Tyler Hero having a better ceiling than Duncan Robinson in a couple years. Like, I think he'll be better than him. I think he's overall a better player, but Duncan Robinson did play really solid. And, you know, Spoelstra, like, he didn't have... He obviously didn't even have the second best team in the NBA. Like, let's be real, that's not the second best team roster wise in the NBA. And Spoelstra,
well, they were fifth seed in the East.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
East, so, you know, obviously not even the second best team in the East.
Right. And Spoelstra, you know, coached them up, and they played the right basketball. They got hot when they needed to, and they just ran through the East. Honestly, like,
it was incredibly impressive. I mean, all of their shooters did really, like, they really did a great job. I think shooting was a big plus side of that team, really, three-point shooting.
Yeah, and one of the really interesting things is that they never ran that hot in the regular season. Like, as well as they shot in the playoffs, like, they didn't match those numbers in the regular season at all. So it was, I didn't see it coming, at
least. I feel like they have a lot of, at least, bench players that are kind of known for showing up in the playoffs. Like, Olynyk,
right?
Jay Crowder, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was a really talented team. Kind of a star-studded team, if you really, like, think about it. And a very impressive run to the finals. I mean, really, you can't say more about... but you can say more because Jimmy Butler, I mean, put in one of the best performances in the history of basketball. I mean, it's ridiculous. He willed his team to the finals.
He really did. He just put them all on his back and said, "We're going to the finals this year, boys." And they all, you know, tagged along for the ride. But again, not, like, Jimmy Butler played his heart out. He clearly, like, every single game he was out there, even when it was looking bleak in the finals, like, he wanted to win every single game.
Yeah.
And he played his heart out, and I think Heat fans and the Heat organization are going to be really, really happy that they picked him up in the offseason because, or whatever the trade was, you know, a lot of people said he was a cancer to, you know, teams, and because of what he said to them at practice and stuff like that, but... Clearly, that was a situational thing, and once he found a place that he fit in and he felt like the guys really wanted to, you know, be there and work hard and win a championship, he succeeded, and that's all, you know, that's all it took.
Yeah, I was really impressed with how well he fit into the leader role in that squad, especially with it being such a young squad. I mean, Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero are two of the most promising young players in basketball right now. I mean, they were very impressive, especially in the playoffs. Adebayo specifically, I mean, he is a phenomenal defensive player. He's a great center for any team, and the Heat use him well, and I think he's doing great things there, and I think he'll continue to do great things there if they keep him.
I was really surprised to see Jimmy Butler succeed so much with that young team, because, you know, even when he was at Philadelphia, that team was really young too. You know, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid were touted as the most promising young players too, you know. But it seems like they just didn't mesh well. I guess it was like a locker room thing. You know, Jimmy said a bunch of mean things to them at practice, and they didn't respond very well. But that's like, I kind of question whether or not the Sixers, like, with that core, you know, it clearly didn't work out with a superstar who's good enough to take a team to the finals. And that 76ers team, talent-wise, is definitely good enough to go to the finals. And they imploded.
Well, I mean, it just seems like that team is just a little volatile. Like, it's starting to seem that way, at least. We've had Tobias Harris even come out and say that he wants a trade out of the Sixers organization. And I think, really, you can pick apart Jimmy Butler all you want and his attitude or whatever, but really what it comes down to is, do the players want to play together? And I think Jimmy was the one who just didn't want to play with, you know, whatever it was. I mean, I'm not going to say it was Embiid or Simmons or both, you know, but clearly there's a problem there. And I mean, I don't know if they need to blow it up or you know, something dramatic, but it's not working.
Yeah,
and
clearly.
I think Philly fans see that. I think the organization should see that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, there's plenty of pictures of Embiid crying after losing in the playoffs. So the players see that too.
And he's been crying for a good amount of consecutive years. The Sixers just can't ever seem to string it together when they need to in the playoffs. But regardless of the Sixers, I'm just really happy to see Jimmy find a place where he fits in and, you know, feels like he's at home.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really just kind of inspiring, inspiring season from him. And I mean, everyone on the Heat. How do you feel about people that, you know, kind of say that the Heat would have won if they had Goran and Adebayo on the squad, or at least it would have been more contested than a six-game series is contested.
So. Yeah, yeah, for sure. It definitely would have been more contested. Not enough can be said about what Goran and Adebayo mean to that team. They're, you know, a good amount of points per game coming from them in the Heat's totals, and when you lose guys like that in the playoffs, it's tough to ask young guys to come in and fill in their roles, especially for Goran. Yeah. But regardless, I think that the Lakers were the better team. LeBron and AD both played really well in the finals. The Lakers, I thought they were going to win. I thought that they were the best team in the NBA, and they won the championship. So
yeah, well, speaking of, I mean, we got to just give credit where credit's due and mm-hmm. talk about those boys that took it home to LA. I mean, you know, for Kobe and all the other things that came along with this season, it was a huge win for the Lakers organization and probably even a bigger win for LeBron. I mean, really, he has added another ring to his GOAT campaign, and he's showing us that he still got it. I mean, obviously, he's saying that it was AD's team, but I think anyone really,
yes,
you know, anyone who follows NBA knows that LeBron led that team to a championship.
And there were a couple times in the playoffs where AD did struggle and, you know, LeBron took charge and he, you know, dished the ball around, got other guys open, and they managed to win games even though AD struggled. Some games, obviously. Other games he played super well and they were rolling on all cylinders. But again, LeBron showed us again that he can still lead a team to a championship and do it, you know, convincingly. Like, he looked so good throughout the playoffs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell that he was as old as he was, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's honestly proven a lot of people wrong and just shut down a lot of stereotypes that I think a bunch of people had coming into this season, that he was washed up or whatever. And that, you know, they missed the playoffs and, you know, they're saying even with AD, he wouldn't make the playoffs, but he proved everyone wrong, man, and he won a championship.
Yeah, and there was a ton of hype, like, just even in LA with the Clippers, you know, they signed Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and people really thought that they were going to be scary, but still, LeBron, the Clippers didn't make it through, LeBron does, and he wins the championship.
Well, I mean, that's also kind of a thing that people are saying, is that he wasn't tested by the Clippers, you know, that he...
But I feel like that's no fault of LeBron. Like,
no,
the Clippers lost to the Nuggets, or yeah, you know, what are you going to do about that?
I don't think it's fair for mm-hmm. people to say that, you know, he doesn't deserve a championship because he didn't have to play the Clippers.
Right. But that's how basketball has worked for the last 40 million years.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't play a team, you don't play them. You play the guys in front of you, and that's what they did, and they won the championship, you know?
And they deserved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, we've been following the free agency movements and the trades, and
the Lakers are rebuilding even stronger. I mean, they picked up Montrezl Harrell from the Clippers. That's insane.
Dennis Schroeder too.
Yeah,
I mean, Schroeder, I think, is the biggest of the signings they have so far. I think it's Schroeder. Who else did they sign? They signed Montrez and another center.
Yeah, they also picked up Marc Gasol, and Gasol in his last season with Toronto, like, he played solid, honestly. Like, he didn't look too washed up or anything, and the Lakers adding him are only going to make them better.
Yeah, he's always been solid. I mean, he's obviously a vet, and he's always been a good player, and I think any team is going to be better with Marc Gasol.
Didn't Dwight leave? Did he leave the Lakers?
I think so. Okay. I think he's in New York, maybe. I mean, I really don't know where he went, but Yeah, he like tweeted out that he was coming back or whatever. Yeah, and yeah. Then like an hour later, he signed somewhere else. Philadelphia. I think he signed in Philly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of just a weird situation. I think a lot of Lakers fans wanted to see Dwight back, but I don't know. He might have just been a little too expensive.
Yeah, he probably was too expensive, but he played a good role, like in terms of defense, definitely on the Lakers. And I think he added a little bit more value to himself because a lot of people, you know, last season were looking at Dwight Howard and they're like, this dude is nothing anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he can't do any of the things that he used to do when he was an MVP candidate and defensive player of the year and whatever. You know, people really thought he was washed, but he added some value this in the playoffs. Now he got a contract and hopefully we can see him keep, you know, doing well.
Yeah. But I mean, I just don't think that he was ever going to I think what the Lakers thought process was, is that they were going to get Montrez and they were going to get Gasol. And so they don't really need Dwight. I think both of those guys can just play off of each other. I mean, and that team looks strong.
Yeah, and they still have AD, so they can run AD and Marc Gasol, and like Marc Gasol is one of the best like pick and pop guys that you can ask for, yeah. And it's just going to space the floor out even more. And yeah, like the Lakers are definitely in the lead for championship contenders in my eyes next season.
I mean, Markieff Morris is coming back, and he's going to be backing up AD still. KCP also got re-signed. They lost Danny Green.
Oh, the guy who couldn't make a shot in the finals. such a tough loss.
Tough loss for the Lakers there, but they replaced him with Schroeder, so I think they'll do fine. They got Caruso back. He played pretty well in the playoffs, especially in the finals. And yeah, it's looking good for the Lakers, but there have been some other pretty big free agency moves and trades. Chris Paul we saw go to the Suns, which is huge for Phoenix. They just barely missed the playoffs this year, and it's looking like they might not miss the playoffs in this coming season with a very strong roster, especially if Ayton stays healthy.
Yeah, seriously, like Chris Paul, imagine like Lob City 2.0 with DeAndre Ayton, because I think that's what it could be. You know, DeAndre Ayton is a really athletic guy, and he's always hovering around the rim, and Chris Paul is one of the greatest passers ever. So I think that connection could work really well together, but I think more importantly, he's really going to help develop Devin Booker's game.
Absolutely. I mean, as just a leader and like kind of like a mentor to Booker, he's going to propel Booker's game so much.
Yes, yes. And Chris Paul is like one of the best vets you can learn from because he plays the game correctly. You know, he sets up his teammates, he doesn't take bad shots, but he knows when to take over a game. And that is,
I think he can.
Exactly.
He has the absolute ability to just go hard in the paint and take over a game and just put it out of reach.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think, that's the part of his game, like in Devin Booker's, like for Devin Booker, the most important part of his game for him to develop now, I think, is learning when to take over and when to pass the ball to your teammates and kind of get them set up. And Chris Paul is the ideal role model for him in that scenario.
Yeah, and obviously Booker has nothing but talent.
Well, he's got the volume for sure. Like, he can score buckets on end, but you also, you know, need to get your teammates going to, you know, loosen up the defense and a bunch of different reasons. So he's going to learn that, and hopefully we see the Suns make the playoffs this year.
I hope so. I mean, you know, there's a lot of just really solid teams in the West, mm-hmm. and the Suns are definitely one of them. And they've just made themselves, you know, they've taken themselves up an extra rung on the ladder with Chris Paul. I mean, come on, he's Chris Paul.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. But a team what are the Celtics doing? So initially, I heard that they were thinking about sending Hayward to Indiana for a trade package that included Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the best day of my life. I was like, the Celtics are going to win the championship. We'll be contending for the next 18 years. Like, awesome. But next thing you know, that falls through. I'm glad Hayward's gone anyway. But that falls through. We don't get any big man, like, in free agency. It's just, I don't know what Danny Ainge is doing. The good thing that he's done is re-sign Tatum to a 4-year, like, $16 bajillion contract.
That's absolutely huge for the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Tatum is, like, I mean, he's the next, like, superstar. He's massive. He's an incredibly talented player. Jaylen Brown too, but you're right. They need to get a big man. I mean, that's the thing that's been missing for so long
for like the Celtics. The last 5 years. Yeah. Like, we have these talented wing players. Romeo Langford, he was a rookie last year, but he was injured, you know, all season. But he's going to be really good in a couple years once he develops. And so there's so much talent for on the wings for the Celtics, but they just need a guy that they can consistently get the ball into and can make buckets down low and also play good defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't even really think of any young guys they have in the power forward or center position.
Taco,
obviously.
Yeah, Taco. They have Robert Williams from Texas A&M who played pretty well, but I'm not super bullish on him. Like, he might turn out well, and if he does, great. But I still think the Celtics need to add a big man, like, through free agency.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, I mean, they could go contract shopping. Or they could trade. I mean, like, what could you see for a trade option for the Celtics?
Well, I really thought that a trade, like, if they were to take a trade, it would probably have to involve Hayward and their draft pick, but they obviously didn't trade those. And, I mean, if you look at the Celtics roster, they don't really have a ton of assets, so, like, they don't have guys that they can just move and, like, teams will actually want those guys. You know, they're not phenomenal role players or anything. So I'm kind of worried that they've missed their mark and, you know, the time's passed.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, the time could just be coming because, obviously, like we said, they're stacked up on guards and they just added two more guards in the draft. Very talented guards, I'll say, in the draft. Yeah, I think they have a lot of weapons, especially guards. And if they can get some solid trades out of that, maybe the guards that they already had, like, maybe they trade Marcus or Jaylen, maybe. I don't think they're ever going to trade Tatum. But, you know, maybe. We could see something like that and you know, start Langford or something or Naismith, maybe.
Yeah, Marcus Smart would definitely have to get moved if they were to make a trade. I think he's, like, one of the only guys that other GMs might look at and be like, hey, he's, you know, guy that we could add to our team that would definitely make us better, like, immediately.
Yeah, and he's also someone that the Celtics might look to get rid of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with his performance in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he was still solid on defense. He just could not make shots. And
he
was
took
taking
a lot of them, too many. He just took way too many shots.
Yeah, he did. He was just, he would run down the court and be like, yep, I'm going to shoot.
Yeah, Marcus Smart is not the guy you want playing hero ball. Like, that's basically all it is.
Yeah, no, he pass it to Tatum or Jaylen or anyone else on the team. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a dog. Ridiculous. He's good on defense and he can make the three. His 3-point percentage has increased over the last few years. He's, like, steadily getting better at that. And so I still think he's a good asset.
Yeah, I think so too. But I also think that he could be a part of a pretty decent trade package for a big because they really need a big. I mean, they need a big.
Yeah, it's the one hurdle that I think is preventing them from being in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think so, too. Speaking of stacked teams that are stacked on guards, the Spurs just added two more guards in the draft. One that I'm extremely excited about in Trey Jones, a second-round steal out of Duke. I mean, really, I can't speak to this guy. Like, he's so good. He's so good. That game winner against North Carolina where he missed, or I guess it was a game tire, but he missed the free throw and made that shot to send it to overtime. I mean, Jesus Christ. That dude is insane, and I'm so happy he's a Spur. He's going to thrive under Popovich.
Yeah, and what a job. Like, Trey Jones has gone from being coached by Coach K to Coach Pop. Like, yep.
Two of the USA basketball coaches.
Yeah, and right he's such a smart player, like, because he's played under Coach K, and that's only going to get better as he, you know, learns the NBA system under Coach Pop.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely excited to see where his career goes in San Antonio because I think it's a very, very bright future.
Yeah, I'm happy about that draft pick, to say the least. I'm not happy about DeRozan extending his option.
Yeah.
That was kind of a kick. That was a kick.
Yeah, DeRozan he can't lead a team to the finals. I think that should be a very established point in the NBA by now. Like, we saw it with the Raptors and we saw it with the Spurs, and I don't really know what.
I just don't think no one ever expected him to lead the Spurs to the finals.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But we expected him to be better than he was, I think. And I think, you know, the trade was just too late in his career and we were kind of backed into the trade, and it's tough, but like what I really would like to see is him leave, like, yeah, just stop and go somewhere else and pick up a contract, and, you know, on the Clippers, he could replace Paul George or something. Like, dude, it's upsetting that he extended his player option to San Antonio at this point. And I didn't think I would be saying that when we first made that trade. Like, I thought I would want him to be on the team until he retires, but he's making $28 million to, you know, put up 16 points a game. Like, dude, it's not good.
Yeah, and that's kind of the reason why I'm not surprised that he picked up the option, because, like, he's not going to make that much money playing anywhere else.
I think he could make sizable amount of money playing pretty much anywhere but San Antonio. If you went to, like, Milwaukee, they're desperate for another star. I mean, Giannis literally said that he would not come back if they didn't get him a star.
Yeah, yeah. That Milwaukee might work out, but I feel like he, like, in the range of $30 million, I feel like it's going to be real tough for him to get that at other, like, contending organizations.
I guess I just don't like to think about DeMar DeRozan being greedy. Like, yeah. I don't think of him as a greedy dude, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if he could get a $20 million contract in Milwaukee or, like, New York or L.A., there's plenty of teams that would love to have DeMar DeRozan as just someone under their star.
Yeah.
And that's what he is in San Antonio. He's a star under 33-year-old LaMarcus Aldridge. You know what I mean? Like, that's not it, bro.
Yeah, yeah. It's not working in San Antonio. And I think he would be a good number two option. I think you're right about that. But at the same time, like, he's not going to get paid that much anywhere else for the rest of his career. Like, he's not worth that much money
if anymore. Markieff Morris is pulling in $16 million deals, DeRozan could get a $20 million deal.
Yeah, maybe $20 million. I think that's reasonable. But once you get, like, above that, I think it gets a little tough. So hopefully they'll figure something out in San Antonio, because he's not a bad player. Like, he just can't really shoot the three, so it kind of, like,
he's become a bad player. I mean, like, I'll just say it how it is. Like, he became a bad player. He wasn't a bad player. He was a very, very good player, and he's gotten old. Like, that's just what happens with most basketball players that aren't LeBron. You know? Like, it just happens. And unfortunately, it happened in San Antonio. If it happened anywhere else, I'd be rooting for him to get a $28 million contract.
But yeah,
he's gutting my team, basically, and we can't sign anyone else. And that's a bummer.
Yeah, he just never developed the three-point game, I think. Earlier in his career, you know, he was a solid mid-range shooter. He's always been great at driving and stuff like that, but I really thought he, like, as the league was progressing and getting more and more three-point dominant, I was like, okay, DeRozan's got a good enough mid-range to be able to develop a three-point jump shot.
Well, he never really needed to in Toronto is the thing. It's like, Toronto thrived off the inside game, and he was the best inside small forward that they could afford, and he killed it. I mean, he was amazing in Toronto.
Yeah, he was, like, the perfect guy for their market, I feel like, because he's, like, not big enough to go somewhere else. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's not a big enough market player to go to places like New York and Los Angeles. But Toronto, I feel like, was a really good fit for him.
Yeah, and San Antonio to the same kind of effect.
Yes, yes.
Well, I mean, I hope they work it out. And I hope that after this year, maybe he'll dump it. And maybe we can dump him and Aldridge in the same year. Like, wouldn't that be... Wouldn't that be so perfect?
That would
our biggest contracts and just invest in those young guys who are on the market.
Right. That
maybe
would
pull in Giannis?
Definitely. No, they're maybe, not going to pull hey, maybe, in Giannis. Hey, they're, maybe pull no, in Giannis? They're not going to pull in Giannis.
Maybe low key pop. Maybe want to pull in Giannis?
No.
I mean, maybe.
Giannis is not going to go play in San Antonio. I couldn't see it.
I'd love to see it.
Maybe.
I would love to see it.
Okay. Wishful thinking.
Would you not love to see that?
I think it would be cool, but I don't think it'll ever happen.
Yeah, but it'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool if Tom Brady came back and played for the Patriots, but that ship has sailed.
With that being said, we're going to go ahead and hear a word from our sponsor, which is the platform that we are currently on, Anchor. So here's that.
All right, getting to something near and dear to our hearts. Let's talk about Texas football.
Yeah, college football obviously got off to a slow start, with some conferences starting later than other conferences. It's just been weird.
It's really like, wacky. Like, there are teams that are playing, like, their third games right now, and, yeah. like, teams that are on their, like, eighth and ninth. So, kind of, that, it's going to be really interesting to see, especially how the postseason plays out, yeah. like, with all that stuff. But, yeah, college football has been, they've really not done a good job of with COVID, obviously. Yeah.
Like, is it not concerning to anyone that everyone seems to be getting COVID?
Yeah, there are, like, cancellations every single week. It's like, ridiculous. I don't think there's been a single week where they haven't canceled at least one college football yeah. game.
I don't think, it's insane, dude. Like, the fact that a team can have a COVID outbreak, like, many of their players and faculty members getting COVID, and then they're back playing, like, the next week.
Yeah, and we're starting to see it as college basketball starts, too. A lot of college basketball teams are starting to get COVID. I heard Rick Barnes got COVID, which is really sad. That.
Yeah.
Like, I hope Rick Barnes gets better.
Yeah, me too, man. That's unfortunate. But, I mean, yeah, college basketball is a little bit of a ways off, but Texas football... Do we really need to say anything? Because it is Texas football. This,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Really, it's what we should have expected.
Is anyone surprised? Like, well, I'm a little surprised because I go in every season with my hopes yeah, way
for
too high.
Some reason, yeah. I'm surprised, and I shouldn't be surprised. Because right. this is what happens every year. And fire Herman. Let's just fire him. Can we get Herman out? Can we get that, like, trending or something?
Yeah, maybe they'll... I've heard a lot of Texas fans also echo that sentiment about wanting to get Herman out. But who do you get? Like, you're not going to get Urban Meyer.
But that's who everyone wants.
Yeah, that's who everyone wants. Why would you not want one of the greatest yeah. coaches ever? But just because you're Texas does not mean that you can just be like, hey, Urban Meyer, here's $2 bajillion. Come coach our terrible team that seems to underachieve every single year.
Yeah.
In front of fan, like... The Texas fan base also, something needs to be said about, like, yeah, like, we suck, but, like, well, we've been bad for, like, the last 8 years, and people are like, oh, my God, we suck? Like, yeah, we've sucked for a long time, bro.
Well, it's just, you know, the potential pool of Texas fans gets recycled every 4 years, you know what I mean? So... It's these people, it's these students coming in and just, like, expecting us to be good because we're Texas. And then we're absolute garbage on the field because we're bad. It's yeah, just bad. Yeah, like, it's a bad football
Texas
team
just
with
put,
a bad football
Texas
coach.
Just puts out a bad product on the football field every Saturday. And that's what we should come to expect because that's where we are as a program. We can't get... Like, Quinn Ewers decommitted. God, like, come on, Herman.
That was a little heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was a tough loss to lose the number one quarterback in the nation.
And number one player in the nation.
Yeah, seemed like a dude that could completely turn around your college football team. Was originally committed to Texas, proceeds to decommit as Texas poops
Ohio
the bed.
State.
Because they don't poop the bed.
I know, they're good.
They're good. They're a good team.
They're a good college football team. And Texas is a bad one, like a bad one. Not even, like, we're not even, like, good, but all right. Like, we're bad.
Yeah.
No. We're bad.
And it's unbelievable. Like, the talent pool in Texas is the greatest of any state, maybe Florida and California. No, Texas. Yeah. It's Texas. And still, we suck. We suck. Like, the flagship university of the biggest football state in America sucks.
Yeah.
How?
Because we lose our commits to OU, or we just don't recruit them. You know, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, we just don't recruit them.
Yeah, just a real long decade of ineptitude from Texas football. But, you know, like, as the decades, like, gone on, my expectations have gone lower and lower. Like, I used to say national championship every season. I don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
I say Big 12 title every season, but...
Hey, that could still happen. It's not gonna.
It's
it could
not
still
going
happen.
To, yeah. We're not beating Spencer Rattler. Like, yeah. We couldn't beat OU if we played them 8 times. Like, we're not going
to
beat them.
I mean, we took them to 3 overtimes, yeah. And unfortunately, I watched all of that game.
Yeah, but we barely stormed. Like, we barely came back. Yeah. We deserved to lose that game.
Absolutely, like, we deserved to lose that game. And I would have much rather of us lost in regular time than sat through 3 overtimes for us to lose.
Yeah, it was a disappointing game. And that's, like, the one game that you really have to win now. Like, with A&M gone from the schedule, a lot of people, like, saw, you know, even if we had a bad season, at least we'd beat A&M. And now that A&M's gone, it all you have is OU, and OU consistently has been contending for the college football playoff. And yeah, we're not there yet.
Yeah, like, so we're not. It's just not. That's not a bright spot because we can't achieve it. We get lucky with a Dicker field goal in the closing seconds, and suddenly we think we're better than OU, yeah, but we're not. And we really haven't been for a decade.
Yes, it's been a decade of suck. Yeah. Just suck on all the football suck field.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, hopefully just something needs to change in the culture, or I don't know. To be honest, I have no idea. Like, if I knew, we would probably be good because Tom Herman would probably know, or any of the guys surrounding the organization would know. But clearly they have no idea, yeah, either, so.
Yeah, it's just a mess. Texas football is a mess.
Yeah, sorry guys, it's an absolute dump of a season. Like, there's no way we can sugarcoat this. Like, I want Texas football to succeed. I really do. Like, I love to see them do well and beat OU and win games that they're not supposed to, but they suck right, yeah, now. So let's be real and say that they suck and not expect a ridiculous amount from college athletes.
Yeah, I think that something we could have expected was that we would have a bad season, maybe another bad season, and maybe another bad season, and then we'd have Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that's not a reality, and we're still losing, and we suck. I wouldn't be surprised if we lost to Kansas. I'm saying that on record right now. I would not be surprised if Sam Ellinger loses to 0-7 Kansas.
We've seen it before. Need I remind you of that, yeah, game?
No, you definitely don't need to remind me of that game.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate. And let's just go over the NFL, yeah, now and talk about another disappointing team in the New England Patriots, who we also unfortunately support.
Oh, so we're just talking about teams that suck? Yeah. Let's go with the Patriots. Wow, they suck. They're, yeah, terrible. Like, I could probably go play starting receiver for the New England Patriots right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're probably better than N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, I can catch the ball like half the time. That's good enough for Belichick, it seems.
Yeah, honestly, it should be, because really, if you just don't get injured, you're better than half of our receivers.
Yeah, yeah. And Belichick has done absolutely nothing to help the situation at all. He's kind of just sitting with his thumb in his butt, and he's like, oh, sorry, we put in all the chips for the last 8 Super Bowls. Yeah. Shut up, Bill. Like, yeah, Tom, you're Brady?
Exactly.
Tom Brady's Tom about may to go be win gone. A Super Bowl.
Tom may be gone, but you're still a coach of the Patriots, and you're acting like you're over in Tampa Bay and talking about Tom Brady. I mean, you're like the ex that didn't get over the breakup. You know what
he
I mean?
He clearly hasn't. I mean, he's just talking about, oh, we put in all of our marbles, you know, last season. No, you didn't. You surrounded really didn't. Brady with a bunch of bums. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about, Bill? Like, the Patriots have really, really been frustrating to watch this season, because sometimes they run the ball super well and they can do play action. And Cam Newton's great. Like, he has a perfect passer rating sometimes.
Yeah.
And other times it's like, we're a peewee football team.
It's ridiculous.
Like, it's the Chisholm Trail Cougars out there, yeah, on Sunday.
Hey, shouts out the Cougars, though.
They're probably better than the Patriots this season. Coach Starnes, I mean, he's holding it down over there. Bill Belichick is not.
Yeah, I mean, it's been disappointing, and something that I wanted to see for so long in the Patriots offense is the run option, and it's been so good. It's been so good this year. Cam Newton and James White and Rex Burkhead have run the option so well this season, but it's rarely ever done. I mean, I see maybe 3 option plays a game, and it should be like 15. Like, dude, we should be running the option a lot more. It's almost a guaranteed first down. Rex Burkhead is a tank.
Yeah.
He's injured. I mean, he tore his ACL, but he's a tank.
He did play really well when he was playing. Like, yeah, it surprised me, honestly.
Definitely.
I've seen him for the last couple of years, and, like, you know, he's Rex.
Yeah.
But he played really well. Like, he was a solid running back for, you know, when he was healthy, obviously.
Yeah, he's super talented. And, I mean, the running back core is just so good with Sony and James and Rex and Harris also coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we don't run more, especially since we don't have the receivers that
we
need.
At all. Like, we are literally throwing to, like, some bums. Like, I just want both football seasons to be done. I don't care who wins the Super Bowl. Nah, like it might be this. It's not going to be the Steelers. It's
certainly not going to be the Steelers.
It'll be the Chiefs, like probably.
Yeah.
I could see it being the Chiefs. And, you know, Alabama will win the college football playoff. Like, what's new? It's basically last season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I'm at a loss for words. I've never seen the Patriots be bad. Like, yeah. I haven't seen it. I haven't been alive to see the Patriots play bad football. And now that they are, it's just, like, weird. Yeah. It's just weird to watch.
What is this?
We're losing? Yeah. Like, what?
This is not the same product that I'm used to for the last 1,100 Sundays, you know? Like,
yeah.
And Tom is out there just killing it in Tampa Bay, and it breaks my heart even more. Yeah. It's like, damn, dude. Like, get rid of Belichick. Don't get rid of Brady. You
know? I just don't know what to do anymore. Like, I don't know, like, how to support the Patriots.
You know what might make you feel better is that Steven Belichick is now on the Patriots, so we might have more years of suck.
Yeah, official position Steve Belichick, so, you know, we'll see what he can do. Hopefully he is just, like, you know, a better version of his dad. And I didn't expect to ever say that he needed a better version of Belichick, but right. Like, you know, maybe someone who can pick a quarterback that's, like, the greatest of all time in the first round.
Yeah, and maybe hold on to the greatest quarterback of all time and not be like, I really want to start Jimmy G. Like, that's it. That's the guy that's going to... Like, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl after that.
I know. Belichick... And if we let him go, we wouldn't have had that Super Bowl. We would be facing what we're facing right now.
Yeah, Tom Brady leaving, like... It seemed like he wanted to stay. Like, I thought that was kind of the news. Like, if the Patriots did offer him the contract, he probably would have stayed. Because, I mean, he's been in New England his whole NFL career. You know, his family is settled in there. He is, like, the hometown hero. Like, people in Boston identify Tom Brady as their own, even though he's from San Mateo, California. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, the complete polar opposite. But he really, you know, resonated with the people in Boston, and, like, to see him leave was really, like, just heartbreaking. Like, seeing one of our own dudes leave and put on another jersey and win more games than us, like, stop it, Tom. Like, don't.
The saddest thing was to see that tradition of him celebrating the win on Instagram and Twitter. You know, the weirdly close selfie of him just kind of talking to the camera in a weirdly robotic way.
And then it goes to, like, the cutouts of the highlights and everything. Right. And now it's all, Ronald Jones? Tampa. Like, I don't care about him.
I just can't get used to seeing him in a Bucks uniform.
I am glad to see him do well, though. He's doing really well.
Yeah, and he's got targets now, which is great. Something he hasn't had in years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's looking so good. Gronkowski came out of retirement. I mean, he was doing the WWE. He was a champ. He was a belt holder in the WWE. He said, "I'm gonna go play football." You know, so must be pretty damn good in Tampa.
Yeah. With that being said, we're gonna go ahead and stop here. Thank you so much for watching. It's been a great episode, and we're so happy to be back and with this new fancy stuff here. And
you guys can see us now. Like, this is like a new level of interaction. You know, it's crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
We're gonna see ourselves and be like, whoa. That's gonna be the weirdest part, I think,
a little bit. Please check us out on pretty much anywhere you can listen to a podcast: Google Podcasts, Spotify, the Apple Podcast app. And you can check us out on our website and also listen to the podcast there. And another thing you can do is check us out on Patreon, where we will be uploading exclusive content eventually. So go ahead and give us a look on Patreon, and maybe drop a sub if you want to.
Again, we want to thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Peace.
Damn, that's the first time you've done that peace on camera.
Yeah.
That's funny.